Okay, good. Now, so we have everything ready, so let's start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time we worship and we learn about you. And even we are now talking about some evil things outside, something that's pagan, something that doesn't please you. But let these be just reminder of us that we belong to you, not the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now we start a new topic. These two times is called the New Age Movement. Have anybody heard of the term? Some of them. How about the teenagers here? Some, right? Yeah, some maybe heard about the term. Okay, and the New Age Movement, why is that? When I talk about cults, mostly when people talk about cults and heresy, they like to talk about the New Age Movement at the same time. Actually, this is quite a different animal. For Mormon, for Jehovah's Witness, even in Catholicism, and for any kind of cults like Unification Church, mostly they have a set of doctrines. This is what we believe, and they have an organization. But New Age Movement is not an organization, and there's no set doctrine. That is called a movement, right? It means something. What is the movement? It's something like happen at the grassroots level, something that change in the way of thinking. But actually, nobody identify themselves as New Ager. You and me will identify ourselves as Christians. And the Mormons don't mind to be called Mormons either. Even that's not the name they use. But then nobody will say, I am a New Ager. Actually, this term to them is a little bit insulting. And then we will agree, yes, Christianity is a religion. Even somebody argue, but there are different definitions for the term of religions. But most Christians don't mind to be called, I belong to a religious organization, or I have certain religious beliefs. But then the New Agers don't want to be called religions. They will tell you, actually there are a lot of young people love to say that, I am not religious, but I'm spiritual. Have anybody heard of that expression? Yeah, right, especially in college. Are you college kids? Yeah, you're in college, no? No? You're too young, I'm sorry.
Too old.
Well, I thought they were like in high school. That's why they said when you're young enough, I'll consider you college level. But anyway, I had enough college level or young people love to say that I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Now, this is what the result of this movement is. Now, what is this? As early as the 60s, there are a bunch of Indian gurus come to this country, America, right here, to teach yoga, to start with. And they simplify the yoga, the way of they do yoga, they simplify it. And they call it science. Now, this is the biggest lie in the world. Right? They say yoga is science. Have you heard of that? No? Yeah, I worked with a guy before. I kept telling him, this is science. This is not religion. Okay, this is religion, yes, 100%, but simplified. Now, and then after that, and there are Buddhist monks, and actually, that's not just from the East. Yes, the major parts from the East. Actually, in the West, there are some minor cults in the 19th century. They are minor, they are more or less underground, because in the Western world, Christianity has been dominated for many years. So all these esoterical cults, they have to go underground. They have the same influence. And also, I would tell you, psychology around the 60s go the same direction. They're called humanistic psychology. We'll talk about a little bit more next week. Now let's go to the next one. So how do you define what is New Age movement? Because this is a movement. This is not even a religion. If you go to a certain place, you get baptized, then you are a Christian, or you are a Mormon, right? You go get baptized in the Mormon church, and you are a Mormon. Now, but then, New Age is a movement. That means a grassroots change in your thinking or some trend. So this is my definition, and I believe I have a good definition for it. So New Age is a repackaging. Remember, repackage. Of what? Some Eastern religion, the Hinduism, the Buddhism, and actually a whole bunch of Sintu or something. They like everything. Western metaphysics, I told you there are some underground cults in the Western world. Okay. And all kinds of sorceries, superstitions, and meditation techniques, anything, you name it. The shamans, actually the shamans happen in the Middle East, and American Indians, meditation techniques, they're everything, they all come together. All of a sudden, these American people who went to college, have a degree, and they were scientists, and they turn around and say, oh, these are good things. And why are they like this now? Because it's a repackaging. And they repackage so much that appeal to these people. And in the old days, they will do things certain way, and now they will change their name, or maybe simplify the procedures, like yoga, I told you, that's one example. Or simplify the procedures, or give a scientific name to it. And so it was taught in universities. It's not taught in a temple. And even taught in church, taught in seminaries, they have different names, actually the same thing. This is what I call repackaging. Now, so this is dangerous, right? If I tell you about Mormonism, it's easy to convince you there's no problem, because you receive a book called Book of Mormon, and you know, oh, this is a cult called Mormonism. Oh, this is a cult. But this is not that easy to identify, because there are all bunch of pagan beliefs and practices we package. Okay. Now, then what do they believe? And I just say they do not have a set of doctrines. That's true. Nobody claimed themselves New Agers. It's just a matter of how much influence they have from this movement. Everybody is different. So nobody will completely agree with a whole group or something. Now, but they are usually identified as two major beliefs. The first one, can you go next slide? Okay. Next one is what I call pantheism. And again, this is a term a little bit too technical. And I thought about making it more simple, but I cannot find a short term to define it. So, but anyway, if you talk to a real typical New Ager, then most of them never heard of this term. And what this term is say, all of us are one. You and I are one. And all of us together is God. And then there's always not just you and I, and including all the animals, all the trees, all the stars, and heavens, and clouds, and sky, and everything. They all together, whole creation is actually one thing, and this whole big lump of thing is God. And you say, why? Can you believe you and I are one? No, right? These two girls is actually one girl. Can you believe that? No. Now, actually, nobody in their right mind will believe that. Now, where does this thing come from? Now, I have a picture here, and I suppose most of you don't recognize big picture. Am I right? Right? No? Right? This is the main Hindu deity. Now, I know that there are a lot of Indians in this areas, more and more. Am I correct? Now, I will not say 100% Indians are Hindus, but a very large percentage. Now, and then within Hindu is also so diversified, just like Buddhism, and there are so many branches. They even contradict each other. But then, and also in Hinduism, there are lots of deities, lots of idols also. But all these deities boil down to the last one. There are three main ones. There are different names for this. There are three main ones. And the three main ones, the top one, the most important of these three main deities, is called Brahman. And this is one of Brahman's idol. And make me feel uncomfortable. They're ugly. Make me feel uncomfortable. But this is one of the better looking ones of Brahman. Have you noticed one thing very unusual? He has four arms. Did you see that? This is Brahman. He has four arms. Actually, a lot of those Hindu, even Buddhist sometimes, deities have many arms. Have you noticed that? Many arms. You notice that? And most of them do. And why do they have so many arms? Because according to Hinduism, the world come into existence because of Brahman. Brahman one day will say, oh, this arm will become a tree, this arm will become rocks, or this arm become people. These are my examples. But what they're saying is, Brahman split himself up, so become this existence, this whole universe, actually is Brahman. And you say, how come I didn't know that? Now, and they say, the story goes like this. And then Brahman cover all this, his creation with illusions. That's why we didn't know we were Brahmins. So that's why we didn't know we are God. And we did not know you and I are one. Me and then the trees, and then the stars, and then your doggies at home. And you. We are all one. Just one big thing. Now let's go to the next one. So you and me and then all these things, everything existing in the universe is one big thing. And this big thing is God. Now, this is called pantheism. Now, a lot of people who are really typical New Agers may not be able to explain this clearly to you. But then they will have this kind of thinking in their head. Oh, I am God, or at least I am divine. Have you heard of people say that? I think I'm God. I'm divine. Have you heard of any your high school kids say something like that? Now, actually, nobody in the logical mind will agree that you and I are God and you and I are one. And nobody will do that. How do they come to such understanding, or what convinced them? Meditation. After meditation, the meditation of different names, I will talk about it right now, immediately. Okay. But whatever names you went through, this meditation, somehow this idea goes into your head. Oh, I am God. Now, I have seen enough stories, real life people who talk like that. And one guy say I was Jewish. This is real. I am Jewish. Then I grew up now. I go to college and I don't even believe there's a God. I'm an atheist now. I was from a Jewish family. Now, after meditation, then I understand. Yes, there is a God. But that God is not the God in the Bible. The God is you and me. Now, be very careful. This is serious. Now, when you think about it, this doesn't make sense. Yes, it doesn't make sense. But because you and I are different. Most importantly, it's not we can go through our logical mind. Can we go to the next one? Most importantly, this is not what the Bible said. Today, during worship time, during our sermon, Dr. Ekman used some of these Bible verses too. What did the Bible say? Did the Bible say you and I are God? No. The Bible say the Lord God is in heaven above, on the earth below, and there is no other. Okay, the second one say you, that means God, alone is God, over the kingdom of the whole world. Over all this creation, this universe, there's only one God. And that is the God in the Bible. And then this God is not us. This God, the third verse here, the 1 Timothy 16 there, say God. Where is God? He lives in an unapproachable light. No one has seen him. Now, if he is so far away we cannot approach him, and we don't even see him, that means we are not him, right? How did we get to see God? Jesus come to this world and reveal himself, right? The Bible tells us very clearly. So he is the creator and we are the creatures. Let's go to the next one. Now, then you say, what's the problem with believing in something a little bit romantic, isn't it? I think that's pretty romantic. Make you feel good, huh? I am God, divine. But then actually, look into reality. What happened is, the first thing, it promotes meditation. Now, I just mentioned, you and I, with our logical mind, will not believe that we are God, or we are divine, or we are one. It just doesn't make sense. But after meditation, somehow you will say, oh yes, right, I am God. And they call this kind of understanding, that realize that you are God, they call it enlightenment. This word is used quite frequently among those New Age literatures. Okay? So the first thing, now, if you know you're God,
God must be something really powerful, right? God is not something weak, humble, like nobody. Huh? So because of this belief, in the New Age circle, there's a human potential movement. They believe that human has unlimited potential. Now we'll talk more about this manifestation of this New Age beliefs on the society next week. Huh? The major thing is we are, because we are God, a divine, so we have all the potential. We can do anything we want. If you want to be rich, then you get rich. If you want to be smart, then you are smart, right? And then if you want to perform some supernatural thing, then you can do it, because you're God. Now, besides that, you have unlimited potential. And also, if you're God, you decide what is right and what is wrong, right? We always go back to the Bible, talk about what is right, what is wrong. Just like Dr. Ammon talk about today, when he addressed mental problems, he go back to the Bible. Talk about Christian values, because the Bible is God's word, tell us what is right, what is wrong. Now, but if you're God, you can decide for yourself what is right, what is wrong. I mean, that's why morality within the New Age circle is one big horrible mess. Actually, this the American society today isn't that much far away. Now, and also one last thing. If you are God and I'm God, so I'm you and you are Jesus, and Jesus is Buddha and Buddha is me, there's no difference. So whatever you believe in, you believe in Buddhism, you believe in Christianity, you believe in Mormonism, doesn't make any difference because we are one anyway. So they've seen everybody is the same, all religions the same. Now these are serious consequences if you are God, right? Now, so this is the first major belief, underlining concept in the New Age circle. Let's go to the next one. The next one is very easy for Christian to identify. The last one may be a little bit more difficult because it's kind of philosophical. This one is reincarnation. We Chinese, right? Chinese is know what reincarnation very well because the whole Chinese culture somehow has some Buddhist background in it. So we know reincarnation means after you die, you come back in a different body. And I chose this picture. If you look in closely, it means these people get old and die. And those good ones will be reincarnated into a human being again. Those bad guys will go to whatever term they will use, go to become animals. I mean, a horse, a cow, or something. So you be good, huh? Do good things, so you come back in life to be a human. And you don't want to come back as a dog or a pig. And that's no fun, right? And actually that you see the suffering in a lot of places, like in Africa or something. Somebody told me it's better to be an American dog. But anyway, if you don't want to suffer in your next life, whatever it is, try to do good work. Now, and so this is a kind of punishment, huh? Something for you to think, oh my goodness, I better be good. Huh? So let's go to the next slide. And this is the New Age concept of reincarnation. From the very, very beginning, there's some consciousness. Now, nobody can fully explain what consciousness is. This is kind of equal to the Mormonism's intelligence. Remember? There's some pre-existing intelligence. There's something there, and they are not a spirit, it's not a soul. There's something there that have some awareness. And they will become minerals. Minerals become plants, and then animals, and become human beings. Now, what is this part? Start from mineral, plants, animal, and human being. What do you call this? Evolution. Hey, evolution. Now, why is evolution comes in here? Remember I said this is New Age. It's a repackaging of the old stuff. They still talk about reincarnation, but they put the evolution in it. So you feel more modernized, more easier to accept it. Now, after you become a human being, after whatever animal become human beings, in the beginning you are just human being. You go to work, you come back, and then you cook and you eat and you have kids and your kids grow up and they all do the same thing. A kid go to work, come back and have kids, same thing. So you live like an animal. So that's why it is a human animal. Then gradually this human animal begin to think, I'm not an animal. I have a spiritual side. Now, so this person will become potential human beings. I have no place to put so many words, so I use a H and a P and a 10. Okay. And then this potential human being begin to think, I have a spiritual side. Now, remember that New Agers like to say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Right here. I have a spiritual side. I will do something. That may be just something more the emotional side, like reading a poem, listen to music, or meditation, or pursue any metaphysical things, whatever thing. Then he will gradually become a metaphysical person, and then he will become a spiritual person, and that means this person is just gradually improve, and grow and grow. Then from human animals all the way back to consciousness, that will take many, many lifetimes, they say, maybe hundreds of lifetimes. So you go through all these reincarnation cycles, and then each time you go through the cycle, you grow, and then one day when you are perfect, then you disappear, you become consciousness again. Okay. Now, so when we hear, okay, let's go to the next one. So in this picture, we see one thing besides the evolution. The next thing is men don't become an animal. Once you become a human being, from a monkey or whatever, then you stay as a human being. Now this is another thing, how they make it sounds modernized. So you say, this is more easier to understand, more easier to accept. When I do bad things, I don't become an animal. Because reincarnation is not punishment. It's what? It's growth. So each time you come back, you learn more metaphysics, then you just grow. And this is what I just said. It become appealing to human beings. Now, so these are the two major concepts I can isolate, the major beliefs. Okay, let's go to the next one. And actually, when we think about the New Age movement, and we don't just talk about thinking, beliefs, or whatever trend in your thought, because most of them don't care anyway. What they care, most people care, is how to do meditation. Whenever I talk about New Age, people say, you're talking about yoga. Yes, I will talk about yoga. And this is a dominant feature within the New Age circle. Let's go to the next one. Now, when we talk about meditation, first of all, I have to explain a term called outer states of consciousness. Have any of you ever heard of that? Yes? No? Yes. I think if you pay attention, I'm quite sure, at least college level, you'll run through this term. Now, some abbreviate it as ASC. What is it? Actually, there's a lot of other terms. Meditative state, trance. Now, if you know Chinese, the Chinese, because of this Buddhism background, there are more terms, a bunch of them. Actually, it's all the same thing. Now, what is an outer state of consciousness or meditative state? That means for that person, the reality has changed. Now, but right now, I see rows of chairs, right, with people sitting on it. And do you agree with me? This is the reality, right? And there are three guys at the back there standing or sitting on a bench. This is the reality. But now I tell you, no, what I see is a mountain in front of me. Or what I see is a stream or a sea. Then what do you think? What do you say? Something wrong in here, right? Something wrong here. Now, actually, to me, the reality change. I don't see what you see. I don't feel what you feel. I do not perceive what you perceive. Now, maybe we see both things. You see also chairs, rows of chairs and rows of people. And then, but you agree, behind me there's nobody, right? Nobody stands behind me right now, right? And I say, I see what you see, and also see four other guys standing right behind me. Now, to me, my reality changed. That is called a outer states of consciousness. That is not a meditative state. He said, how can you get into it? Let's go into it. The meditation has lots and lots of terms in the New Age circle in this modernized world. The most general one is meditation. Actually, all these afterward are meditations. And the second one from the Hinduism is called yoga. Yoga also has different branches. And those that brought to this America by Indian guru is called Transcendental Meditation, called TM. And then the Buddhists, actually I think the Buddhists are the smartest one. What they brought along is called visualization. Now, the Buddhist has many terms for this meditation. And then whatever the term do not directly translate it into this. And this is a modernized term which is very good at describing what the Buddhist monks are doing. Now, and also we have hypnosis, which is from the Western world, and this is meditation. Now, a lot of psychologists do not agree, but I found them split. Some of them do. This is a trend state. And then I just said, visualization is such a smart thing to do. So there are so many different modern terms actually meant the same thing. One thing I'm quite sure you heard of, positive thinking. Have you heard of that? Anybody heard of that? Yes? No? Yes? Right? Yes, right? You heard of it. Now, positive thinking is not mean a positive attitude. Somebody may think that way, but the real one is not. It's not it. And then they are called focusing, centering, guided imagery, mental imaging. And all this depends on where you go to. If you go to a business training, if you go to a psychotherapy training, or if you go to a Catholic church do the same thing. They use different terms, slightly different techniques, or maybe different degrees of meditation. But they're the same thing. And then one thing, we all know what that is. It's not a meditation. It's LSD or other kinds of psychedelic drugs, all kinds of drugs. All kinds of drugs will somehow bring you into outer states of consciousness. Now, remember, have any of you guys heard about this? Some people, when they after they take drugs, they see all different colors. They go into different realities. Now, let's talk about two of them. First one. Because of time was rushing. Now, all those, I'll go to the second one. All those different names, they are doing the same thing, but with different degrees. But if you look close to what they do, let's go back. Okay, they used to do all this, may not be all, but most of these stuff in different terms. First thing they would tell you to relax, shoulders down, and then to concentrate on something. Now, yoga will teach you to concentrate on breathing, okay? Or concentrate, or maybe like, see there's a sphincter on top of the ceiling there? You see that? Everybody see that? You look at that. Look until you blank out your mind. Just stare at that thing, okay? Now, or you concentrate to visualize something, which is visualize is inside. You try to see with your imagination. You see something. That thing can be anything. It can be yourself, can be a book, can be a tree, or just anything, or scenery, or just concentrate. And then or repeat a mantra. Now, a mantra is just mostly a simple sound, real simple sound. So you repeat that simple sound, or maybe one or two sounds or syllables or whatever. And then you concentrate either on your breathing or an object or a mental image. Now, if you do that for 5-10 minutes, you don't go into meditative state. If you really concentrate so much, then your head will blank out. Your head won't be thinking. There are a number of recent studies by medical doctors or neuroscientists. They study people go into meditative states with different methods. Some of them are Hindu gurus, some of them are yogi, some of them are Buddhist monks, some of them are Catholic nuns, or some of them just do not have any religious background. You do whatever you do. When you go into meditative state, those medical people will scan your head with the MRI scan. You heard of it, heard of the MRI scan. And they found out when a person go into meditative state, his whole head is not even functioning. The only one part is still have activities is the part concentrate. If you concentrate too hard, the rest of your brain will be silent. Now then you will go into the outer states of consciousness. Now, let's look at two examples. One thing is yoga. Now for some reason, among all of those, I think yoga is the most dangerous one. And so if you have friends in your school that ask, hey, let's come practice yoga. In the beginning, yoga may look like exercise. Like in the middle one, this one is actually an Indian guru. I think most people love to have their body so flexible. I don't blame them. In the beginning, it may look like it. And then they will teach you meditation at the same time or shortly afterward. Even you go into a health club or some community class. Those are really watered down yoga. Those are not real yoga. They still do that. So they will teach you a mantra to meditate with. You remember I just talked about mantra or concentration, are ways to make a person enter into outer state. And now this is not just Christian say that. Even I met some real experienced yogi agree with this. The mantra they may give you is actually a Hindu deity's name. They do that all the time. So like, if you close your hand, you say, Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus, what are you doing? Praying to God, right? If you do this kind of posture, and then you repeat that Hindu deity's name, you want to do that? You want to do that? No, not me. I will not pray to any Hindu deities. They are pagan gods, right? Now, and also, some of these postures may look good, may look attractive. But some of these postures, I'm not saying all, some of these are actually the way they worship that deity. So today's yoga may be toned down, but dangerous. Now, and also, this picture at the corner, far the right-hand corner here, you see the circles here? What this picture is telling you, the yoga's theory is, everybody has 7 chakras in their body, which is energy centers. Have anybody heard of chakra? Nope. How about you, college kid? He's college. Now, chakras mean our body has several energy centers. What yoga's main goal is to push the energy through this 7 center when it go up, and you will release some psychic energy. And those psychic energy can be used to heal sickness or whatever you name it. So you can see this whole yoga, even toned down, is something to be avoided because it's very, very pagan. Okay, let's go to the next one. The next one I just said about is the most popular one. You may not even notice it. I think actually many years ago when my son was still in high school and he told me he heard of it. I heard of somebody have teaching similar to this. The second one is called visualization, or it's a whole bunch of fancy names such as positive thinking. What it tells you is to form a mental image. Now, remember, this is concentration. Nobody can form a clear mental image of anything unless you really put your mind into concentration. Now, you can use your imagination to think about maybe a tree, or maybe a friend, and maybe yourself, how you look like when you go into a party with your party dress. You may form an image of that. But it cannot be too clear. This is natural. It won't be too clear. Now, what you say is you form a mental image of the thing you want, you desire, and concentrate. Make sure you see that. And then what do you see? And there are lots and lots of examples around. Now, if you want to buy a house, you guys don't worry about it, right? You can think about a house. And on top of it is a hand holding a bunch of cash. If you want cash, you think about somebody give you cash. Form an image in your head that your bank statement arrived. All of a sudden, they are $200,000 more than last month. Or something like that, whatever you think. Or you may think about what will you love to have? Maybe a report card with strict A's, right? Is that what you like? you don't care about your bank statement. You care about your report cards, I know. Then so you don't have to study. All you do is meditate. Form a mental image that you see the report card coming with all A's on it. Or maybe I'm old. You guys are young, real young. So and I get jealous. Wow, you guys so pretty. I was pretty as you were. You are right now, many years ago. So I say, hey, I'm going to form a mental image of me as skinny as these girls, as beautiful as these girls. So whatever you want. So this is what you call positive thinking. Now, but if you just form a very vague image, it won't work, and it doesn't do any good. You're fooling yourself, right? But you really concentrate, work hard on it, then you will enter into outer states of consciousness. Now, that's the next one. Now, then that's why they attract you to get meditation. That's a sweet deal in front. Then you will feel peaceful, tranquil. And I have heard so many people tell meditation is good no matter what you do. First thing, you feel peaceful. Yes, true. You feel peaceful. And then you feel being one with the universe. That's why they believe in pantheism, that you and I are one, and you and I together is God. Remember that? I just said that. Now, and then you will manifest your desire. Just what I said. If you want a strict A report card, you think about it. If I want a bank account with option $200,000 more than last month, so I just visualize that bank statement. And then you will receive inspiration. Now, and also lots of people say after meditation, they have some new ideas, whether it's for scientific invention, for writing a book, or writing a song, you name it, all kinds of inspiration. Now, this is, you got to be careful. When your head is all blanked out, all of a sudden there's an idea in there. Where's the idea come from? Could well be come from Satan. Tell you that. I absolutely not. So, ideas come from meditation, generated from meditation is a dangerous thing. And then this inspiration may include what I just talked about, enlightenment. May include that all of a sudden you say, oh, now I understand, I am God. That's why nobody with the logical mind will believe that I'm God. But after meditation, they do. Now then after that, you may have changed your thinking. A change may be good, but mostly it's bad. And then also, they said you will get psychic abilities. You will encounter supernatural events and spirit. Now, some people may think this is fun. And we Christians, we don't think this is fun because what kind of spirit it is, we have to test it. No Holy Spirit will come through meditation, right? And also the enlightenment. Okay, next one. Now, you see, that's not so bad, huh? But then immediately there are dangers follow. First thing is you change in your thinking. That's what I just said. You said you receive inspiration. But the inspiration doesn't stop at how to write a book, how to write a song, or how to fix a computer. It may be changing in your concept of God, changing in the concept of morality, changing your concept of heaven and hell. I have seen real-life people, too. I read enough stories about how they change the thinking of the meditation. And I think this is something to be emphasized and emphasized again. This is serious. You don't want your thinking to be changed. You want to change your thinking to adjust it to what the Bible said, right? You don't want something, whatever spirit, to put something in your head. And then this, somebody may not recognize this as danger. But then a lot of people get sick, physical illness. Now, a lot of people who are psychics, who practice meditation, who do qi gong or whatever thing, Chinese part of it. They think that it improved their health. End up, they get sick, not only physically, mentally, and then they met evil spirit. And the last case is demon possession. So it isn't worth it to take the risk of, we just talk about all this, nice stuff that you may get. Now, you may get a strict A, you may get money, and you may get a UFO look. But if you compare to mental problem, demon possession. No way I'm going to take that risk, right? And usually people will come and ask me, huh? Why don't I just do a little bit of it? Then so I get some nice stuff, maybe some inspiration how to write a song or inspiration to write my article so I can get an A next week for my assignment. Then I will stop. Now, let's go to the next one. This is no. This is not my analogy. This is quite a number of theologians use this same analogy. If you go into meditative state, or do use whatever way, whether yoga or qigong or whatever thing, or try to go in a meditative state, you think you may get in, you think this is just a lesser degree, it's not that serious. You are just like going into a cage with a lion. Now, if you go to a cage with a lion in it, will you be killed? Not necessary. Am I right? Yeah, depends. Depends on what the lion is doing. Maybe the lion just have a big dinner, and he's sleepy, so he doesn't want to care about you. You stand there fine, and just don't wake me up. I'm sleeping, okay? Then, but the problem is, when will danger come? When you get in the lion cage, who decide? The lion, right? You have no way to defend yourself when you're in the lion cage. So smart people will stay outside to watch a lion. If you go to the zoo, you don't go inside a tiger's cage or a lion's cage, right? You stay outside and you take pictures, or even take pictures with the tiger behind you, that's fine, right? You don't go inside. Once you go inside, you don't get killed right away. But when will you get hurt? It's not in your hand, it's in the lion's hand. Now, it's the same thing, huh? There are all forms of meditation. And meditation eventually will make you blank out your mind. Blanking out your mind is just going in there. So when will the dangers happen? You have no control. So the smart thing is not to get involved with any of these things. Okay? We pray and we read the Bible and we don't do these things. Okay, now, anybody have any questions? Now we'll talk more about in the society what these things will reflect, what kind of phenomenon we will have. Anybody have any questions? How about if any of you in your school, on your workplace, have met some of these things? No? Well, I wish you never have to. Okay, now will one of you like to lead us in a closing prayer? Anybody? How about you?
Father God, we just want to give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks for Dr. Lois Chan continuing her messages, Lord, allowing us to discern and make wise judgments between the truth and other things that we may hear. Father God, just give us the wisdom to be able to understand a little bit more about what's going on around us and also be able to utilize this as a resource and a tool to preach the true gospel to our friends, Lord. Protect our hearts as your children. Do not let us get brainwashed by everything in society today.
Amen.
Thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Okay.